Cincinnati Public Radio and Cincinnati Shakespeare Company proudly present William Shakespeare's comedy A Midsummer Night's Dream, adapted and directed for radio by Jeremy Dubin. The cast includes Marcus Anthony, Angelique Archer, Ariana Chai, Sarah Clark, Colleen Dougherty, Jeremy Dubin, Cal Harris, Lennon Hu, Abigail Nacken, and Brian Isaac Phillips. Gather ye family and enjoy this frolicking tale of fairies, mistaken identity, and love.
Our play begins in the throne room of ancient Athens. The mighty Duke Theseus and his betrothed love Hippolyta, warrior queen of the Amazons, until late the fiercest of enemies, now discuss their impending nuptial day. Though they are soon interrupted by the arrival of an irate old Athenian named Aegeus, who brings in tow his daughter Hermia and two anxious young gentlemen.
Now, fair Hippolyta, our nuptial hour draws on apace. 4 happy days bring in another moon, but oh, methinks how slow this old moon wanes.
4 days will quickly steep themselves in night. 4 nights will quickly dream away the time.
Hippolyta, I wooed thee with my sword, but I will wed thee in another key, with pomp, with triumph, and with reveling.
Happy be Theseus, our renowned duke!
Thanks, good Aegeus. What's the news with thee?
Full of vexation come I with complaint against my child, my daughter Hermia. Stand forth, Demetrius. My noble lord, this man hath my consent to marry her. Stand forth, Lysander. And my gracious duke, this man hath bewitched the bosom of my child, turned her obedience, which is due to me, to stubborn harshness. And my gracious duke, be it so, she will not hear before your grace consent to marry with Demetrius. I beg the ancient privilege of Athens. As she is mine, I may dispose of her, which shall either be to this gentleman or to her death, according to our law.
What say you, Hermia? Demetrius is a worthy gentleman.
So is Lysander.
In himself he is. But in this kind, wanting of your father's voice, the other must be held the worthier.
I beseech your grace that I may know the worst that may befall me in this case if I refuse to wed Demetrius.
Either to die the death, or to abjure forever the society of men.
Relent, sweet Hermia, and Lysander. Yield thy crazy title to my certain right.
You have her father's love, Demetrius. Let me have Hermia. Do you marry him?
Scornful Lysander!
I am, my lord, as well derived as he, as well possessed. My love is more than his, and, which is more than all these boasts can be, I am beloved of beauteous Hermia. Demetrius, I'll avouch it to his head, made love to Nader's daughter Helena and won her soul. And she, sweet lady, dotes, devoutly dotes in idolatry upon this spotted and inconstant man.
I must confess that I have heard so much, and with Demetrius thought to have spoke thereof. For you, fair Hermia, look you arm yourself to fit your fancies to your father's will. Come, my Hippolyta, Demetrius and Aegeus, go along. I must employ you in some business.
With duty and desire, we follow you.
Theseus and Hippolyta sweep from the room, Aegeus and Demetrius following obediently behind, leaving Lysander and the weeping Hermia alone in the throne room.
How now, my love? Why is your cheek so pale? How chance the roses there do fade so fast?
Belike for want of rain, which I could well beteem them from the tempest of my eyes.
Ay me! For aught that I could ever read, could ever hear by tale or history, the course of true love never did run smooth. Therefore, hear me, Hermia. I have a widow aunt, and she hath no child. From Athens is her house remote 7 leagues, and she respects me as her only son. There, gentle Hermia, may I marry thee. And to that place the sharp Athenian law cannot pursue us. If thou lovest me then, steal forth thy father's house tomorrow night, and in the wood, a league without the town, there will I stay for thee.
My good Lysander, I swear to thee by Cupid's strongest bow, in that same place thou hast appointed me, tomorrow truly will I meet with thee.
Keep promise, love.
Their elopement plans are interrupted by the arrival of Hermia's closest friend, Helena.
Look, here comes Helena.
Godspeed, fair Helena, whither away?
Call you me fair? That fair again unsay. Demetrius loves your fair. Oh, a happy fair. Ooh, teach me how you look, and with what art you sway the motion of Demetrius' heart.
I frown upon him, yet he loves me still.
Oh, that your frowns would teach my smiles such skill.
I give him curses, yet he gives me love.
Oh, that my prayers could such affection move.
The more I hate, the more he follows me.
The more I love, the more he hateth me.
His folly, Helena, is no fault of mine.
None but your beauty. Would that fault were mine.
Take comfort. He no more shall see my face. Lysander and myself will fly this place.
Tomorrow night, through Athens' gates have we devised to steal.
And in the woods, Lysander and myself shall meet, and thence from Athens turn away our eyes. Farewell, sweet playfellow. Pray thou for us, and good luck. Grant thee thy Demetrius. Keep word, Lysander. We must starve our sights from lovers' food till morrow deep midnight.
I will, my Hermia. Helena, adieu. As you on him, Demetrius dote on you.
How happy some over other some can be. Through Athens, I am thought as fair as she. But what of that? Demetrius thinks not so. He will not know what all but he do know. Ere Demetrius looked on Hermia's eyne, he hailed down oaths that he was only mine. And when that hail some heat from Hermia felt, then he dissolved, and showers of oaths did melt. I will go tell him of fair Hermia's flight. Then to the wood will he tomorrow night pursue her, and for this intelligence, if I have thanks, it is a dear expense. But herein mean I to enrich my pain, to have his sight thither and back again.
As Lysander and Hermia make plans to abscond to the woods, and Helena seeks Demetrius to tell him of their flight, elsewhere in Athens, in the crowded quarters where the commoners cavort, a group of lowly laborers, mere mechanicals, have convened. Though their stations may be humble, their ambitions are anything but. They have heard of the great duke's impending nuptials, and more, that he is seeking entertainment for the celebration. Though inexperienced, and woefully ill-suited, they have decided to try their untested hands at mounting a play, which they hope will be chosen to entertain the Duke and his new bride on their special day.
Is all our company here?
You were best to call them generally, man by man, according to the script.
Here is the scroll of every man's name, which is thought fit through all Athens to play in our interlude before the Duke and Duchess on his wedding day. At night.
First, good Peter Quince, say what the play treats on. Then read the names of the actors and so grow to a point.
Our play is the most lamentable comedy and most cruel death of Pyramus and Thisbe.
Oh, a very good piece of work, I assure you, and a merry. Now, good Peter Quince, call forth your actors by the scroll. Masters, spread yourselves.
Answer as I call you. Nick Bottom the Weaver.
Ready. Hey, name what part I am for and proceed.
You, Nick Bottom, are set down for Pyramus.
Oh.
What is Pyramus? A lover or a tyrant?
A lover that kills himself most gallant for love.
That will ask some tears in the true performing of it. If I do it, let the audience look to their eyes. I will move storms to the rest. Yet my chief humor is for a tyrant. I could play Hercules rarely. Huh? The raging rocks and shivering shocks shall break the locks of prison gates. Hey, this was lofty. Now, name the rest of the players.
Francis Flute, the bellows mender.
Here, Peter Quince.
Flute, you must take Thisbe on you.
What is Thisbe? A wandering knight?
It is the lady that Pyramus must love.
Maid! Hermia, Faith, let me not play a woman. I have a beard coming.
That's all one. You may speak as small as you will.
Let me play Thisbe too. Oh, I'll speak in a monstrous little voice.
Bottom.
Ah, peerless lover dear, thy Thisbe dear and lady dear.
No. You must play Pyramus and flute. You, Thisbe.
Well, proceed.
Robin Starveling the tailor.
Here, Peter Quince.
Robin Starveling, you must play Thisbe's mother. Tom Snout the Tinker.
Here, Peter Quince.
You, Pyramus' father. Myself, Thisbe's father. Snug the Joiner.
Just me.
You, the lion's part. And I hope here is a play fitted.
Have you the lion's part written? Pray you, if it be, give it me, for I am slow a study.
You may do it extemporal, for it is nothing but roaring.
Let me play the lion too. I will roar, that I will do any man's heart good to hear me. I will roar, that I will make the Duke say, let him roar again. Let him roar again.
And you should do it too terribly. You would fright the Duchess and the ladies, that they would shriek, and that were enough to hang us all.
That would hang us, every mother's son.
I grant you, friends, if that you should fright the ladies out of their wits, they would have no more discretion but to hang us. But I will aggravate my voice so that I will roar you as gently as any sucking dove. I will roar you as 'twere any nightingale.
You can play no part but Pyramus.
Well, I will undertake it.
Masters, here are your parts, and I'm to entreat you, request you, and desire you to con them by tomorrow night, and meet me in the palace wood a mile without the town by moonlight. There will we rehearse. I pray you, fail me not.
We will meet, and there we may rehearse most obscenely and courageously. Take pains, be perfect. Adieu!
Adieu!
And now, into the woods, where Hermia and Lysander are bound to elope, pursued by Demetrius, who is in turn pursued by Helena, where the Mechanicals are also destined, seeking a private place to rehearse their play. But they won't be alone in the woods tonight. As sun sets and moon rises, the forest's more fantastical denizens appear. The fairy folk unfurl their wings and cautiously creep from every crook and crevice where they've been concealed, perhaps a bit more warily than is their wont. You see, all is not well in Fairyland. King Oberon and Queen Titania are at odds, each wishing sole possession of a sweet human infant that the queen has recently acquired. And now, every time they meet, they quarrel, if not brawl, over the boy. And once again, it seems their paths are about to cross. The queen, resplendent in robes woven of flowers and moonlight, is accompanied by her usual entourage of fairy followers, while King Oberon, bedecked in armor of bark, thistle, and thorn, has with him but one servant, a creature composed of equal parts mischief and menace, known sometimes as Hobgoblin or Robin Goodfellow. But mostly, he goes by Puck.
Ill met by moonlight, proud Titania.
What? Jealous, Oberon? Fairies?
Mm-hmm.
Skip hence. I have forsworn his bed and company.
Tarry, rash wanton! Am not I thy lord?
Then I must be thy lady. But never, since the middle summer spring, met we on hill, in dale, forest, or mead, but with thy brawls thou hast disturbed our sport.
Do you amend it, then?
It lies in you. I do but beg a little changeling boy to be my henchman. Set your heart at rest. The fairyland buys not the child of me. If you will patiently dance in our round and see our moonlight revels, go with us. If not, shun me, and I will spare your haunts. Give me that boy, and I will go with thee.
Not for thy fairy kingdom.
Ow!
Ooh.
Fairies, away. We shall chide downright if I longer stay.
Well, go thy way. Thou shalt not from this grove till I torment thee for this injury. My gentle Puck.
Hey!
Come hither. Thou rememberest a certain night when I did show to thee a little western flower which maidens call love in idleness.
I remember.
Fetch me that flower. The juice of it on sleeping eyelids laid will make man or woman madly dote upon the next live creature that it sees.
Ooh.
Fetch me this herb, and be thou here again ere the Leviathan can swim a league.
I'll put a girdle round about the earth in 40 minutes.
Having once this juice, I'll watch Titania when she is asleep and drop the liquor of it in her eyes. The next thing she waking looks upon, she shall pursue it with the soul of love. And ere I take this charm from off her sight, as I can take it with another herb, I'll make her render up her page to me. But who comes here? I am invisible, and I will overhear their conference.
Oberon melts magically from human view as Demetrius approaches, close at his heels, the undauntedly devoted Helena.
I love thee not, therefore pursue me not. Where is Lysander and fair Hermia? Thou toldst me they were stolen unto this wood. Hence, get thee gone and follow me no more.
You draw me, you hard-hearted adamant. Leave you your power to draw, and I shall have no power to follow you.
Do I entice you? Do I speak you fair? Or rather, do I not, in plainest truth, tell you I do not, nor I cannot love you?
And even for that do I love you the more. I am your spaniel. And Demetrius, what worser place can I beg in your love than to be used as you use your dog?
Tempt not too much the hatred of my spirit, for I am sick when I do look on thee.
And I am sick when I look not on you.
I'll run from thee, and hide me in the brakes, and leave thee to the mercy of wild beasts.
I'll follow thee, and make a heaven of hell, to die upon the hand I love so well.
Off Helena sprints in dogged pursuit of her love, as Oberon reappears, oddly moved by this mortal girl's plight.
Fare thee well, nymph. Ere he do leave this grove, thou shalt fly him, and he shall seek thy love.
Hey.
Welcome back, sweet Puck. Hast thou the flower there?
Aye, there it is.
Take thou some of it, and seek through this grove. A sweet Athenian lady is in love with a disdainful youth. Anoint his eyes, but do it when the next thing he espies may be the lady. Thou shalt know the man by the Athenian garments he hath on. Affect it with some care, and look thou meet me ere the first cock crow.
Fear not, my lord, your servant shall do so.
As Puck heads off in search of a man and a woman in Athenian garb, Oberon takes the rest of the magical flowers and creeps stealthily through the woods to the place he knows his queen is wont to take her rest, happily arriving just as her fairies prepare to send her off to sleep with a lullaby.
Come now, a roundel and a fairy song. Sing me now, sleep.
He spotted snakes with double tongues. Thorny hedgehogs be not seen. Newts and blind worms do no wrong. Come not near our fairy queen. Philomel with melody. Singing our sweet lullaby. La la la, la 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 la. Bye.
Their lullaby done, and their queen sleeping soundly, the fairies flit away, giving Oberon the opening he was awaiting. He approaches his sleeping queen and squeezes several drops of the purple flower's juice onto her resting lids as he incants.
What thou seest when thou dost wake, do it for thy true love take. Be it ounce or cat or bear, pard or boar with bristled hair, when thou wak'st, it is thy dear. Wake when some vile thing is near.
The spell is cast, and Oberon, immensely pleased with himself, vanishes back into the woods. Elsewhere in the forest, Lysander and Hermia have found eloping more difficult than they imagined. Lysander, it seems, has gotten a bit turned about, and the trek has taken its toll on poor Hermia.
Fair love, you faint with wandering in the wood, and to speak troth, I have forgot our way. We'll rest us, Hermia, if you think it good, and tarry for the comfort of the day.
Belike it so, Lysander, find you out of bed, for I upon this bank will rest my head.
The two young lovers, a respectable distance between them for modesty's sake, lay down and go to sleep, just as a frustrated puck breaks through the brush.
Through the forest have I gone, but Athenian found I none, on whose eyes I might approve this flower's forest in stirring gloom. Night in silence!
Who is here?
Weeds of Athens he doth wear. This is he, my master said, despise the Athenian maid. And hear the maiden sleeping sound on the dank and dirty ground. Oh, pretty soul, she durst not lie near this lack love, this kill courtesy. Churl upon thy eyes I throw, all the power this charm doth owe. When thou wakest, let love forbid, sleep his seat on thy eyelid. So awake when I am gone, for I must now to Oberon.
Puck disappears, just as Demetrius bursts into the grove, hotly pursued by the relentless Helena.
Stay, though thou kill me, sweet Demetrius!
I charge thee, hence, and do not haunt me thus!
Demetrius flies once again into the woods, but as Helena attempts to follow, she stumbles over Lysander's unconscious body.
Who is here? Lysander on the ground? Dead? Or asleep? I see no blood, no wound. Lysander, if you live, good sir, awake!
Lysander awakes, and the love juice with which he has been charmed takes effect.
And run through fire I will for thy sweet sake. Transparent Helena, yeah. Nature shows art that through thy bosom makes me see thy heart. Where is Demetrius? Oh, how fit a word is that vile name to perish on my sword.
Do not say so, Lysander. Say not so. What though he love your Hermia? Lord, what though? Yet Hermia still loves you. Then be content.
Content with Hermia? No. I do repent the tedious minutes with her I have spent. Not Hermia, but Helena I love. Who would not change a raven for a dove? The will of man is by his reason swayed, and reason says you are the worthier maid.
Wherefore was I to this keen mockery born? When at your hands did I deserve this scorn? Is't not enough? Is't not enough, young man, that I did never know, nor never can deserve a sweet look from Demetrius' eye, but you must flout my insufficiency? But fare you well. Perforce, I must confess, I thought you, lord, of more true gentleness. Oh, that a lady of one man refused should of another therefore be abused.
She sees not Hermia. Hermia? Sleep thou there, and never mayest thou come Lysander near, and all my powers address your love and might to honor Helen and be her knight.
Lysander dashes off after Helena, leaving behind the sleeping Hermia, who is soon startled awake by a nightmare.
Help me! Oh, Lysander, help me! Ay, me, for pity! What a dream was here! Lysander, look how I do quake with fear! Lysander? What, removed? Lysander! Lord, alack, where are you? I swoon almost with fear. No, then I well perceive you are not nigh. Either death or you I'll find immediately.
Elsewhere in the woods, the mechanicals, scripts in hand, have found the perfect spot to rehearse their play. Though unbeknownst to them, it is dangerously close to the Fairy Queen's cradle.
Are we all met?
Pat, and here's a marvelous, convenient place for our rehearsal.
Peter Quince.
What sayest thou, Bully Bottom?
There are things in this comedy of Pyramus and Thisbe that will never please. First, Pyramus must draw a sword to kill himself, which the ladies cannot abide. How answer you that?
By your Lacan, a perilous fear.
I believe we must leave the killing out when all is done.
Not a whit. I have a device to make all well. Write me a prologue. And let the prologue seem to say we will do no harm with our swords, and that Pyramus is not killed indeed. Oh, and that for the more better assurance, tell them that I, Pyramus, am not Pyramus, but Bottom, the Weaver. This will put them out of all fear.
Will not the ladies be afeared of the lion?
I fear it, I promise you.
Therefore, another prologue must tell he's not a lion.
Nay, half his face must be seen through the lion's neck, and he himself must speak through, saying thus, Ladies. Or fair ladies.
Fair ladies.
I would wish you. Or I would entreat you.
I would entreat you.
Or I would request you.
I would request you.
Not to fear, not to tremble. If you think I come hither as a lion, it were a pity of my life. No!
No!
No, I am no such thing. I am a man.
Man.
As other men are. And dare indeed let him name his name and tell them plainly that he is...
Snug the Joiner!
Snug the Joiner!
What?
Nothing.
Well, it shall be so. But there is two hard things. That is, to bring the moonlight into a chamber. For, you know, Pyramus and Thisbe meet by moonlight.
Why, then may you leave a casement of the great chamber window where we play open and the moon may shine in at the casement.
Aye, or else... One must come in with a lantern and say he comes to disfigure the person of moonshine. Ooh, then there is another thing. We must have a wall in the great chamber. For Pyramus and Thisbe, says the story, did talk through the chink of a wall.
You could never bring in a wall. What say you, Bottom?
Some man or other must present wall. And let him hold his fingers thus. And through that cranny shall Pyramus and Thisbe whisper.
Well, if that may be, then all is well. Come, sit down, every mother's son, and rehearse your parts. Pyramus, you begin. When you have spoken your speech, enter into that break.
As the mechanicals prepare to rehearse, who should appear but Puck? He eyes the strange band of would-be actors with impish curiosity.
Hempen homespuns have we swaggering here, so near the cradle of the Fairy Queen? What, a play toward? I'll be an auditor, an actor too, perhaps, if I see cause.
Speak, Pyramus! Thisbe, stand forth!
Thisbe, the flowers of odious savors, sweet...
Odorous!
Odorous, savors, sweet, but hark, voice... Stay but here a while, and by, I will to thee appear.
Bottom exits into a copse of trees to await his next cue, and Puck, sensing an irresistible opportunity for some merry mischief, follows him.
Must I speak now?
Aye, merry, must you? For you must understand, he goes but to see a noise that he heard, and is to come again.
Most radiant Pyramus, most lily-white of hue, of color like the red rose of triumphant briar, as true as horse, and yet would never tire, I'll meet thee, Pyramus, at Ninny's tomb.
Ninus' tomb, man. You must not speak that yet. That you answer to Pyramus. You speak all your part at once, cues and all.
Cues?
Pyramus, enter. Your cue is passed. It is never tire.
As true as horse, that would never tire.
Hearing his cue, Bottom re-enters from the break. But he's been the victim of a
puckish prank. For the mischievous fairy, deciding that Bottom was clearly an ass, has given him a head to match.
If I were fair, Fizbee, I were only thine.
Oh, Bottom, thou art changed. What I do see on thee?
Oh, monstrous, oh, strange. We are haunted. Pray, masters, fly, masters, help! Away his fellows fly screaming, and the cacophony that they create causes Queen Titania to awake, who lays her potion-laden eyes upon the visage of this strange donkey-headed man.
Oh, an angel wakes me from my flowery bed. Mine ear is much enamored of thy note. So is mine eye enthralled to thy shape. And thy fair virtue's force perforce doth move me on the first view to say, to swear, I love thee!
Methinks, mistress, you should have little reason for that. And yet, to say the truth, reason and love keep little company together nowadays.
Thou art as wise as thou art beautiful.
Not so neither. But if I had wit enough to get out of this wood, I have enough to serve mine own turn.
Out of this wood do not desire to go. Thou shalt remain here, whether thou wilt or no. For I do love thee, therefore go with me. Peach blossom, cobweb, moth, and mustard seed.
Ready.
And I.
And I.
And I.
Where shall we go?
Be kind and courteous to this gentleman. Come, wait upon him. Lead him to my bower. Tie up my love's tongue. Bring him silently.
Bottom is whisked off to the fairy queen's bower. In another part of the forest, Oberon eagerly awaits Puck's return.
I wonder if Titania be awaked. Then, what it was that next came in her eye, which she must dote on in extremity. Here comes my messenger. How now, mad spirit?
My mistress with a monster is in love! Titania waked and straightway loved an ass.
This falls out better than I could devise. But hast thou yet latched the Athenian's eyes with the love juices I did bid thee do?
I took him sleeping. That is finished too.
The fairy's conversation is abruptly interrupted by the arrival of Hermia seeking her missing Lysander, followed by Demetrius, who it seems has finally found her.
Stand close. This is the same Athenian.
This is the woman, but not this the man.
Oh, why rebuke you him that loves you so?
If thou hadst slain Lysander in his sleep, plunge in the deep and kill me too. Would he have stolen away from sleeping Hermia? Where is he? Ah, good Demetrius, wilt thou give him me?
I had rather give his carcass to my hounds.
Out, dog! Out, cur! Ah. Thou drivest me past the bounds of maiden's patience.
I am not guilty of Lysander's blood, nor is he dead, for aught I can tell.
I pray thee, tell me then that he is well.
And if I could, what should I get therefor?
A privilege never to see me more, and from thy hated presence part I so.
There is no following her in this fierce vein. Oh, here, therefore, for a while, I will remain.
Oberon puts Demetrius into a magical sleep and turns his attention to Puck.
What hast thou done? Thou hast mistaken quite and laid the love juice on some true love's sight. About the wood go swifter than the wind, and Helena of Athens look thou find.
I go, look how I go!
Flower of this purple dye, sink in apple of his eye. When his love he doth espy, let her shine as gloriously as the Venus of the sky. When thou wak'st, if she be by, beg of her for remedy.
Captain of our fairy band, Helena is here at hand, and the youth, mistook by me, pleading for a lover's fee. Shall we their fond pageant see? Lord, what fools these mortals be!
Stand aside. The noise they make will cause Demetrius to awake.
Then will two at once woo one? That must needs be sport alone. And those things do best please me that befall preposterously.
Why should you think I should woo to scorn? Look, when I vow, I weep.
You do advance your cunning more and more. These vows are Hermia's. Will you give her oar?
I had no judgment when to her I swore. Demetrius loves her, and he loves not you.
As Oberon predicted, their quarreling awakens the dozing Demetrius, whose now enchanted eyes land on Helena.
Oh, Helena, goddess, nymph, perfect, divine, to what my love shall I compare thine eyne? Crystal is muddy, oh, how ripened show thy lips, those kissing cherries tempting grow.
Oh, spite! Oh, hell, I see you are all bent to set against me for your merriment. Can you not hate me as I know you do, but you must join in souls to mock me too? You are both rivals and love Hermia, and now both rivals to mock Helena?
You are unkind, Demetrius. Be not so. For you love Hermia, this you know, I know. And here, with all goodwill, with all my heart, in Hermia's love, I yield you up my part.
Lysander, keep thy Hermia. I will none. If ever I loved her, all that love is gone. My heart to her, but as guestwise sojourned. And now to Helen, it is home returned.
Helen, it is not so.
Disparage not the faith thou dost not know, lest to thy peril thou aby it dear. Oh, look where thy love comes. Yonder is thy dear.
Thou art not by mine eyes, Lysander, found. Mine ear, I thank it, brought me to thy sound. But why unkindly didst thou leave me so?
Why seekest thou me? Could not this make thee know the hate I bear thee made me leave thee so?
You speak not as you think. It cannot be.
Lo, she is one of this confederacy. Now I perceive they have conjoined all three to fashion this false sport in spite of me. Injurious Hermia, most ungrateful maid. Fare you well. 'Tis partly my own fault, which death or absence soon shall remedy.
Stay, gentle Helena. My love, my life, my soul, fair Helena.
Oh, excellent.
Helen, I love thee. By my life, I do.
I say I love thee more than he can do.
Lysander, whereto tends all this? Am I not Hermia? Are you not Lysander? Since night you loved me, yet since night you left me. Why then you left me, oh, the gods forbid. In earnest, shall I say?
Aye, by my life, and never did desire to see thee more. Therefore, be certain, nothing truer, 'tis no jest, that I do hate thee and love Helena.
Oh, me, you juggler, you canker blossom, you thief of love. What, have you come by night and stolen my love's heart from him?
Fine, i'faith. Have you no modesty, no maiden shame? Fie, fie, you counterfeit, you puppet, you.
Ooh. Puppet? Why so? Aye, that way goes the game. Now I perceive she hath made compare between our statures. She hath urged her height, and with her personage, her tall personage, her height, she hath prevailed with him. Are you grown so high in his esteem because I am so dwarfish and so low? How low am I, thou painted maypole? Speak, how low am I? I am not yet so low, but that my nails can reach onto thine eyes. Ha! Ah!
Be not afraid. She shall not harm thee, Helena.
Oh, when she's angry, she is keen and shrewd. And though she be but little, she is fierce.
Little again, nothing but lower and little. Will you suffer her to flout me thus? Let me come to her.
Ah! 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 Get you gone, you dwarf. Now, Demetrius, follow, if thou darest, to try whose right of thine or mine is most in Helena.
Follow? Nay, I'll go with thee, cheek by jowl.
No, wait! You, mistress,
This coil is long of you. Nay, go not back.
I will not trust you, I, nor longer stay in your cursed company. Your hands than mine are quicker for a fray. My legs are longer, though, to run away.
I am amazed and know not what to say. Puck, this is thy negligence. Still thou mistakest, or else commits thy knaveries willfully.
Believe me, King of Shadows, I mistook.
Thou seest these lovers seek a place to fight? Hie, therefore, Robin, overcast the night, and lead these testy rivals so astray as one come not within another's way. Then crush this herb into Lysander's eye, whose liquor hath this virtuous property to take from thence all error with his might and make his eyeballs roll with wonted sight. When they next wake, all this derision shall seem a dream and fruitless vision. Whilst I in this affair do thee employ, I'll to my queen and beg her Indian boy, and then I will her charmed eye release from monster's view, and all things shall be peace. Haste, make no delay. We may effect this business yet ere day.
Up and down, up and down. I will lead them up and down. I am feared and filled in town. Goblin, lead them up and down.
Puck leads the four lovers in a merry chase, keeping them tantalizingly close, yet preventing them from ever crossing one another's paths, until finally, exhausted, all four collapse asleep. Carefully picking out Lysander from the bunch, Puck applies the potion's antidote.
On the ground, sleep sound, I'll apply to your eye, gentle lover, remedy. When thou wakest, thou takest true delight in the sight of thy former lady's eye. Jack shall have Jill, naught shall go ill, the man shall have his mare again, and all shall be well.
Meanwhile, back at Titania's bower, the queen continues to coddle and caress her newfound love.
Come, sit thee down upon this flowery bed, while I thy amiable cheeks do coy, and stick musk roses in thy sleek, smooth head, and kiss thy fair, large ears, my gentle joy.
I must to the barbers, monsieur, for methinks I am marvelous hairy about the face. And I am such a tender ass, if my hair do but tickle me, I must scratch.
Oh, say, sweet love, what thou desirest to eat.
Oh, methinks I have a great desire to a bottle of hay. Oh, good hay. Oh, sweet hay. But I pray you, let none of your people stir me. I have an exposition of sleep come upon me.
Sleep thou, and I will wind thee in my arms. Oh, how I love thee, how I dote on thee.
As they fall asleep in a cozy embrace, Oberon and Puck magically materialize.
Welcome, good Robin. Seest thou this sweet sight? Her dotage now I do begin to pity, for, meeting her of late behind the wood, I did ask of her changeling child, which straight she gave me. And now I have the boy, I will undo this hateful imperfection of her eyes. Be as thou wast wont to be, see as thou wast wont to see. Now, my Titania, wake you, my sweet queen.
My Oberon, what visions have I seen? Methought I was enamored of an ass.
There lies your love.
How came these things to pass?
Silence a while. Gentle Puck, take this transformed scalp from off the head of this Athenian swain, that he, awaking when the others do, may all to Athens back again repair, and think no more of this night's accidents, but as the fierce vexation of a dream. Now, when thou wakest, with thine own fool's eyes peep. Fairy king, attend and mark. I do hear the morning lark.
Come, my lord, and in our flight, Tell me how it came this night that I, sleeping here, was found with these mortals on the ground.
As the fairies flee the morning light, a much befuddled Bottom, back in possession of his human head, awakes.
When my cue comes, call me and I will answer. My next is Most Fair Pyramus. Hey. Oh. Peter Quince. Flute, the bellows mender. Snout the tinker. Cause my life. Stolen hence and left me asleep. Oh. I have had a most rare vision. I have had a dream past the wit of man to say what dream it was. Man is but an ass if he go about to expound this dream. Me thought I was, and me thought I had. Oh, I will get Peter Quince to write a ballad of this dream. It shall be called Bottom's Dream, because it hath no bottom, and I will sing it in the latter end of a play before the Duke.
As Bottom makes his way out of the forest, Duke Theseus is just arriving, Aegeus in his company. They are preparing for an early morning hunt when they come across a most unexpected sight.
Soft, what nymphs are these?
My lord, this is my daughter here asleep. And this Lysander, and this Demetrius is, this Helena, Onedos Helena. I wonder if they're being here together.
Good morrow, friends. St. Valentine's is past.
Pardon, my lord.
I pray you all stand up. I know you two are rival enemies. How comes this gentle concord in the world?
My lord, I shall reply amazedly, half sleep, half waking, but as yet I swear, I cannot truly say how I came here, but as I think, for truly what I speak, I came with Hermia hither. Our intent was to be gone from Athens, where we might, without the peril of Athenian law...
Enough, enough, my lord! You have enough! I beg the law upon his head!
My lord, fair Helen told me of their stealth, and I in fury hither followed them, fair Helena in fancy following me. But my good lord, I wot not by what power... My love to Hermia melted as the snow, and all the faith, the virtue of my heart, the object and the pleasure of mine eyne is only Helena.
Fair lovers, you are fortunately met. Aegeus, I will obey your will, for in the temple by and by with us, these couples shall eternally be knit.
Are you sure that we are awake? It seems to me that yet we sleep, we dream. And did not you think the Duke was here and bid us follow him?
Yea, and my father.
And he did bid us follow him to the temple?
Why, then, we are awake. Well, let's follow him. And by the way, let us recount our dreams.
Theseus, Aegeus, and the four lovers make their way back to Athens, where, in the common quarters, the much distraught mechanicals bemoan the fate of their missing companion. Hey, can't you send the Bottom's house? Has it come home yet?
He cannot be heard of. Out of doubt, he is transported.
Oh. If he come not, then the play is marred. It goes not forward, doth it?
Play, it is not possible. You have not a man in all Athens able to discharge Pyramus, but he...
He has simply the best wit of any handicraft man in Athens.
Yea, and the best person, too.
Oh, sweet bully Bottom.
Where are these lads? Where are these hearts?
Bottom!
Masters, I am to discourse wonders.
What?
But ask me not what. For if I tell you, I am no true Athenian.
Don't let us hear, sweet Bottom.
Not a word of me. All that I will tell you is that the Duke hath dined. Get your apparel together. Every man look o'er his part, for the short and the long is, our play is preferred. No more words, huh? Go away. Go away!
Away!
Away! The mechanicals gather their gear and make for the palace, where in a thrice-blessed ceremony, Theseus and Hippolyta, Helena and Demetrius, and Hermia and Lysander have all been wedded.
and eagerly anticipate the evening's entertainments.
Come now, what masks, what dances shall we have to wear away this long age of 3 hours between our after supper and bedtime? Is there no play to ease the anguish of a torturing hour?
Here is a brief. How many sports are ripe?
A tedious brief scene of young Pyramus and his love Thisbe. Very tragical mirth. Merry and tragical.
Tedious and brief.
We will hear it. Bring them in.
Gentles, perchance you wonder at this show, but wonder on till truth make all things plain. This man is Pyramus.
Yay.
If you would know, this beauteous lady, Thisbe, is certain. This man, with lie and rough cast, doth present wall. That vile wall, which did these lovers sunder, and through wall's chink, poor souls, they are content to whisper.
How you doing?
At the which, let no man wonder. This man, with lantern, dog, and bush of thorn, presenteth moonshine.
Ding!
For if you will know, by moonshine, ding! Did these lovers think no scorn to meet that Ninus tomb, there to woo.
Woo!
This grisly beast, which lion hight by name,
rah!
The trusty Thisbe, coming first by night, did scare away, or rather did affright.
Rah!
And as she fled, her mantle she did fall.
Oh no, my mantle!
Which lion vile with bloody mouth did stain.
Stain, stain, stain.
Anon comes Pyramus.
Nay.
Sweet youth and tall, and finds his trusty Thisbe's mantle slain.
No!
Whereat, with blade, with bloody, blameful blade, he bravely broached his boiling, bloody breast. And Thisbe, tarrying in mulberry shade, his dagger drew and died. For all the rest, let lion
roar,
moonshine
ding,
wall, and lovers twain
nay,
at large discourse, while here they do remain.
Ta-da!
Will it please you to see the epilogue, or hear a bergamask dance between two of our company?
No epilogue, I pray you, for your play needs no excuse. Let your epilogue alone. Oh, the iron tongue of midnight hath told 12. Lovers, to bed. 'Tis almost fairy time.
If we shadows have offended, think but this, and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here while these visions did appear, and this weak and idle theme no more yielding but a dream, else the puck a liar call. So good night unto you all. Give me your hands if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends.
Thank you so much for joining us for this audio presentation of William Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. What you have heard tonight is an adaptation of our free Shakespeare in the Park tour, an example of the community and educational outreach that Cincinnati Shakespeare Company brings to this region. Over the course of a year, we reach more than 50,000 people, from students to seniors, with our programming. Tonight's presentation would not be possible without our season sponsors, the Otto M. Buttig Family Foundation, the Carol Ann and Ralph V. Hale Jr. U.S. Bank Foundation, the Ohio Arts Council, and the generosity of tens of thousands of contributors to the Arts Wave community campaign. We are forever grateful for your support.
Thank you for listening to tonight's broadcast of A Midsummer Night's Dream, performed by the Shakespeare in the Park touring cast of Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. Tonight's production was adapted and directed for radio by Jeremy Dubin and featured the voice talents of Marcus Anthony, Angelique Archer, Ariana Chai, Sarah Clark, Colleen Dougherty, Jeremy Dubin, Cal Harris, Lennon Hu, Abigail Nacken, and Brian Isaac Phillips. Sound design and editing was by Cal Harris. The recording engineer was Brian Lloyd, and the production manager was Abby Howson. Broadcast coordinator and sound engineer for WVXU was Stephen Baum. The executive producer was Chris Phelps. Cincinnati's arts community is essential to the vitality and growth of our region, and WVXU is proud to partner with Cincinnati Shakespeare Company to bring you this production from Shakespeare in the Park 2020. It's made possible by the support of WVXU's sustaining and annual members. If you'd like to listen to this production again, go to WVXU.org. Have a good evening. This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati and 88.5 WMUB Oxford.